Present outside and at home. We didn't get a verse on the board, but the verse I have is very easy. Everyone can chant it without seeing it. Prabhu Kahe Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan. Prabhu Kahe Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan. Prabhu Kahe Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan. Dui Kara Shigra Pabe Shri Krishna Charan. Dui Kara Shigra Pabe Shri Krishna Charan. Prabhu Kahe Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan. Dui Kara Shigra Pabe Shri Krishna Charan. Anyone knows it now? It's quite easy, right? Very important. Everything is right there. The Lord replied, "You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan. If you do these two things, Dui Kara, do two things, right? You will very soon attain the shelter at Krishna's lotus feet." That's what we want. So those two things are what we do a lot of, and the more the better. Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan. Seva means in a humble state of mind, honoring the Vaishnava. We have our Vaishnav Seva Prabhu. He's doing wonderful service. If anybody can help him, they'll be definitely get a lot of mercy. So Lord Chaitanya's leelas are unlimited. I just looked up a few things where Lord Chaitanya promises many things, and we should take note. And so here's one. Oh, that's that one. Then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Also, yesterday I was telling, last night, I don't know if everybody heard, how the Chaitanya Charitamrita book, you know, happened to come about. So it was first, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami got enlivened to hear about Lord Chaitanya, and then he lived in Puri, and he was always with Swarup Damodar, so he heard all Chaitanya's Leela all the time. Then when he went to Vrindavan, he was speaking every day 3 hours, Gaur Katha, and Krishnadas Kaviraj was there, and he heard him, and he took his notes. Now Krishnadas Kaviraj got there because he had a brother, and the brother claimed to have faith in Lord Chaitanya, but he couldn't accept Lord Nityananda. That, I guess, sometimes would happen, because Lord Nityananda, he was acting in an avaduta mood at that time, so sometimes his activities were not like a pakka smarta sannyasi. So Krishnadas Kaviraj was always arguing with his brother that they're the same, and Nityananda is also, you know, the Supreme Lord. But the brother wouldn't accept it. He was very frustrated. He didn't know what to do. Then Nityananda came to him in the night, in a dream. And he said, "Go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan, everything will be all right." So he went immediately the next morning, I guess. He just left for Vrindavan. His renounced person didn't have anything to worry about, and he just left for Vrindavan. And then everything worked out. So that's the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So then Krishnadas Kaviraj heard Raghunath reciting this Chaitanya Leela, and then he was requested later on, when nobody else was left that had actually been associated with Lord Chaitanya, to write the book so that, you know, the devotees were requesting him, please write the book. And so he, being a humble devotee, he didn't feel qualified, but he went to the temple of Madan Mohan and asked permission if he could write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the garland fell off the deity, and this pujari gave him the garland, so he took that as a sign. And he was able to write in spite of very old age, partial blindness, arthritis, many, you know, things that would normally make it very difficult. And I've never seen how, but at writing on palm leaves, I guess it's quite a difficult, you know, you have to scratch. And it's not like just talking into a microphone and your computer writes it out or something. But it was like that. He said he didn't know how he was writing, but he was writing by the mercy of the Lord. So many, many things are there. Lord, we have Panchatattva coming down with us this festival. Something like the original festival at Keturi. I was going to talk about that, but I heard Radhanath Swami just a few weeks ago gave that whole story, right? So, but the kirtan became so ecstatic and all the devotees were so absorbed in the holy name that the Panchatattva actually came, even though it was some years after all of them had disappeared. And they were all dancing in the midst of all the devotees. So now they come here also. They're very merciful to us. And I decided I would talk about Haridas Thakur. Talking about Lord Chaitanya is wonderful, about his devotees is even better. And the loving exchanges between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas. Haridas is the Namacharya, the Acharya of the Holy Name, and, you know, very special because many things are there. Many, many important things are there. So Lord Chaitanya, another thing he said, abandoning all offenses, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the holy names of the Lord. Then very soon you'll achieve shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Same thing. It actually says that many times. That's the essence of Lord Chaitanya's teaching. And in Haridas Thakur, besides chanting 300,000 names of the Lord every day, which we calculate to be something like 192 rounds. I was in the garden with Srila Prabhupada one time, a couple times, but this time he just came up and he said, if Haridas was chanting 7 minutes for one round, how long would that take? So somebody had a calculator. At that time a calculator was this big and very rare. And he said it would take 21 hours. Prabhupada said, what if 5 minutes per round? And he said, he said that would be 17 hours. Prabhupada said, he must have been chanting like that, he said. So he was also preaching. Of course, his chanting was preaching. We have many stories how, you know, he's just sitting there chanting and everybody would come and honor him, and demons would get very envious how he was being honored, especially since he apparently appeared in a so-called low-class family, according to Hindu culture. According to the Muslim culture, they told him, why do you want to take these low-class Hindu names of God when you're born in a high-class Muslim family? So, you know, everybody sees from, you know, their own point of view. So devotees, we rise above all that, and we don't judge, you know, people by anything except their devotional activities. So he was also the age of Advaita, Sarvabhauma, Sachimata, Jagannath Mishra. He appeared long before Lord Chaitanya. Even that beating in the marketplace that happened before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya later told him, you know, I protected you because of his compassion. They were trying to kill him, viciously beating him with his, I guess, you know, the not bamboo sticks, but whip kind of sticks, a rattan or something. And nobody could usually survive more than two marketplaces. And he was praying not to punish these men who were beating him because he said they don't know what they're doing or they're just following the orders of their boss. You know. That's what Sita told Hanuman, don't be mad at the Rakshasis. He said they were just following Ravana, they don't blame them. They're not going to make any more trouble now that Ravana is dead. Because Hanuman wanted to kill all those Rakshasis that had bothered Sita so much. Sita didn't hold anything against him. So we get examples from these great devotees, you know, amazing tolerance. But the most wonderful thing is the time that Lord Chaitanya was lamenting, you know, that everybody in Kali Yuga is very, very sinful and they're all malechas and yavanas and, you know, all the meat eaters, and how are they going to be saved? He asked Haridas. He's actually asking, you know. And Haridas then speaks, and I'll look it up to get more details, but he explains that they're already liberated because, you know, because of your loud chanting of the holy name of the Lord, everyone is liberated. And then Lord Chaitanya was happy. Another mention from the book, I write about the character of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's what charita means, the character. Please hear with attention, for thus you will easily receive ecstatic love for the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So many, many things, very simple things. We just hear about the character. That's what Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya means the living soul, the energy, the life. And Charita means the character. And Amrita means the nectar of the character of Lord Chaitanya. So we're not just, you know, he's Krishna. He has unlimited and good qualities. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see so much intimate relationships of the Lord with his devotees. So much, you know, exchanges of love and pastimes. Not, of course, many is just taking prasadam, kirtan, discussing philosophy with Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Ramananda Roy, especially Sarvabhauma, and the Mayavadis, you know, and always loving exchanges because he was very kind to everyone. Even when he defeated that Keshava Kashmiri that was very puffed up, right? He was a Digvijay Pandit. Everybody knew that he was empowered by Saraswati. When he would debate, no one could understand the questions he asked, so he would just win right off. He could speak in such a, you know, such an amazing way. But Lord Chaitanya didn't meet him publicly. Often those debates were public. And then the loser would be humiliated, you know. But Lord Chaitanya arranged to meet him quietly just with a few of his disciples. And then he defeated him. And the pundit got bewildered by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya asked him, you explain this, and he couldn't speak. And he couldn't understand how this can happen. Why Saraswati abandoned him But then she came in the dream and told him, "This is, don't feel bad. This was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who defeated you. And, you know, you don't have to worry that you were defeated by him, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So, always like that. Others, he didn't. Sarvabhauma also did it privately, and he just listened to Sarvabhauma. And it's a good lesson for us in our preaching, our dealing with each other. He sat for 7 days listening to Sarvabhauma talk all in Mayavadi, a not pleasing subject, you know. And he didn't respond. He didn't argue. He didn't ask any questions. So finally Sarvabhauma said, "Well, you must not understand what I'm saying. You don't understand Vedanta. You know, what's the problem?" And Lord Chaitanya told him, "The Vedanta is very clear like the sunshine, but your explanations are like clouds. And they're just covering it all over, and, you know, just confusing everything." And Sarvabhauma said, how can that be? Because everybody in the world, all the big logicians of the world, all the big sannyasis, they were all coming to learn from Sarvabhauma to understand the Vedanta. So he got curious. "Well, you tell me what you think." And he listened, because Lord Chaitanya had listened to him for so long. You know, he was obliged in one sense, but he felt, you know, this is an important understanding of dealing with people, dealing with preaching. We often have to listen to people tell their ideas about everything. And I know that in the early days of ISKCON, maybe still when we went out to distribute books, you know, "You Hare Krishnas never listen to anybody." You know, because no matter any stupid argument they'd make, devotees would just, "Rah," you know. So a lot of people didn't want to mess with the devotees, you know. But gradually we learn. Not that we get absorbed in what they're saying, but we have to hear, we have to be, you know, we have to listen. Hearing and chanting is very important. So Lord Chaitanya is asking Haridas, you know, this question. How can these people be saved? You know what? They're just, you know, they're so degraded. Kali Yuga, everybody is killing cows and everybody's, you know, doing all terrible things. And even then he was, you know, noticing that. What to speak of now, you know, in India, how can the people be saved when they're becoming the world's leading cow killers? And but the same process is working. Many, many people are being rescued from, you know, from this problem. So Haridas starts to explain to Lord Chaitanya, you know, the power of the holy name, and on and on and on about the glories of the holy name of the Lord. That and then Lord Chaitanya says, "Well, what about the trees and the non-moving living entities? And what about them?" And he says, "That's also they're saved." He said, "When you chant loudly in the forest, you hear the." He said, "It's not an echo. If you go to the forest and try that, I tried it. Shout really loud, you hear it. It comes back." He said, "That's the trees are chanting." So the author says, "You know, I don't know the deep meaning of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. I'll just try to explain them externally. So what to speak of me? We just, you know, we go over and over again. The deep meaning is, you know, it's unfathomable, they say, right? Like the ocean. Can't find the bottom. In many parts of the ocean, they have no idea how deep it is. They know a little bit about nearby the shore." So he says, "Haridas, people are bereft of Vedic culture. They're called Yavanas. They're concerned only with killing cows and Brahminical culture. They all engage in sinful acts. So how can they be delivered? It's making me very unhappy. I don't see any way they can be delivered. This is Lord Chaitanya saying. So he gets in that mood. Of course, he's arranging, you know, for Haridas to speak. Haridas tells him, don't be unhappy to see the condition of the yavanas in the material existence. Because they say, haram, haram, they will be delivered by this Namabhasa. So that's a famous story, haram. You know what that means in yavana talk? Everybody knows that. Haram means abominable. And so the story is that he was being killed by a wild pig and he was chanting, haram, haram, haram. Because the pig for the Muslim is the most abominable thing. One time in the airport, we were distributing Srimad Bhagavatam, and one devotee handed the book, tried to give a book to one Muslim man, and he said, haram! And he pushed it away. So the devotee kept saying, what did you say? And he said, haram! Many times, all the devotees gathered around, we had a good laugh, and the guy didn't know what was going on. So many times, he said, is that haram or haram? Haram! You know. So Haridas is saying, because they're accustomed to saying that, they'll also be delivered. A devotee, they'll chant haram, meaning, or Lord Ramachandra, or Lord Ramachandra. But the yavanas also chant it, so, and there's a huge explanation in this whole chapter about the, how the syllables and, you know, the holy name will act. Even someone chants, you know, totally inattentively, they jokingly, even insulting devotees, but they chant the holy name. And even if the syllables are not like exactly together, but they're nearby, still they can get some benefit. So it's a very, very, you know, Haridas, he can really appreciate the holy name. I think if you chant that much your whole life, you know, 17 hours a day, and that was just his japa. He also did Harinam, and he went out preaching, and, you know, he liberated so many people just by his chanting. So Haridas said, the chanting of the Lord's holy name to indicate something other than the Lord is an instance of Namabhasa. Even when the holy name is chanted in this way, transcendental power is not destroyed. So we're in some ways on the Namabhasa stage even, but you know what Abhasa means? Who knows? Somebody know? Huh? Raise your hand if you know. No? It means like in the morning, the sunrise, it says 6:47, according to the calendar. But it gets light around 6 o'clock, isn't it? So that's Abhasa. The sun is not up yet, but the light of the sun is up. So you get some idea about the sun. You can't see everything the same way as when the sun actually comes up, but it's light. And if you're way up, we were up in a mountain in China. They said, you know, if you get up there to see the sunrise, it's really beautiful. So we climbed way up this mountain, and devotees were getting all excited. You know, I said, here it comes. I said, no, it's a long ways off, you know, because way up in the mountain and mountains behind, is a long time before the sun, but the light comes in maybe 1 hour or something, you know. Very bright. But then when the sun comes up, it just floods everything with light. So we're looking for that, you know, full absorption in the holy name, not just, you know, getting some glimpse. That's what Abhasa means, Namabhasa. We're getting some slight glimpse of the holy name, but still it works, like Ajamil. Haridas is explaining about Ajamil. Of course, everybody knows Ajamil. So, he said, the letters that have so much potency that even if they're not properly uttered, they still have effect. So devotees are always happy. Anybody chants the holy name, right? There's one famous comedian in London. You must have heard of him because he's friendly with Radhana Swami, Russell Brand. So, he's straightened out a lot now, but he was very famous for his unregulated activities. You know, very famous. But he had a television show. He was extremely popular with the youth. And at the end of every show, he'd be telling all these crazy jokes, and he'd say, well, Hare Krishna, and walk off the stage. And every the TV show or any, you know, concert, whatever he did, he'd always finish up, or sometimes he'd just get bewildered and say, well, Hare Krishna. Now he says it much more, but... So sometimes a life member, Indians, would come to the temple and say, can't you stop this guy from chanting? You know, because he's so degraded. And we don't want him representing Hinduism or something. But the devotees said, no, we're happy. And the Sankirtan devotees would meet young people and say, oh, yeah, if Russell Brand likes it, it must be good, you know. So we knew the power. So he was chanting in the beginning, kind of jokingly, you know, he just thought it was nice, he'd come to the temple. And many, many people like that. When we go out chanting publicly, you know, people chant, they're even talking, oh, those stupid Hare Krishnas, but they're chanting. That Muslim, Gadadhar Das, he kept asking him to chant, and the guy, finally he said, I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. You know, I mean, get out of here. And he became so happy. He said, why are you so happy? I said I'd chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. He said, you're already chanting. So devotees are very happy to hear anybody chant for any reason. For ourselves, we want to work on it to really chant the holy name with full attention, with devotion. So Haridas gives a long thing here. If a devotee once says the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind or enters his ear, which is a channel of oral reception, the holy name will deliver him from material bondage, whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, or properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. The potency of the holy name is therefore certainly great. However, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism, in other words, if one utters the holy name with offenses, that chanting will not produce the desired result very quickly. Therefore, one should diligently avoid offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. But any chanting is good because it enters the ear and it goes into the heart. And Rupa Goswami made that beautiful verse that Lord Chaitanya likes so much. Tunde tundavali ritim vitatune tundavali labdaye karna kroda kadambini vijayate karnar bidevyo spriha. That when the holy name dances on the tongue, one thinks that one tongue is not enough. He wants thousands of tongues. And when it enters into the ear, he thinks two ears is not enough to hear the holy name fully. He wants millions of ears. And then, Cheto Prangana Sangini Vijayate Sarvendriyana Kritim, that when it enters into the heart, the mind becomes stunned and the senses become inert. The external senses mean we don't look at, oh, there's a nice this, oh, that's not nice, and I want this, and that stops. And the mind becomes stunned. It's not thinking of anything except the holy name. It's absorbed. Then, no jane janita kiyad biramritai krishneti varnatvai. Nice verse. I learned that because I went to one of our gurukuls back, and all the little kids came out chanting that verse, and I was so impressed that I learned it. Because I can forget usually much faster than I can learn verses. But that one, that's why we like Leela. Leela is very easy to remember and repeat, whereas like memorizing slokas, usually we have to really work at it, most people. But so when Lord Chaitanya, he saw that verse that Rupa was writing it, Rupa was embarrassed. He didn't want to show it to him. And then later, Rupa was new at the time in Puri. He had just come from, you know, working with the government, and nobody knew him. And Sarvabhauma and Everybody was there, Advaita, Nityananda, Haridas, Ramananda Roy, and Lord Chaitanya said, "You recite that verse." And he was, no, you know. And he forced him to recite that verse. And all the devotees were in ecstasy, and they all said, you know, "We have heard thousands and millions of slokas glorifying the holy name, but this is the best one ever. This is the best one. No jane janita ki adbir amritai krishneti varna dvayi." That no one knows how much nectar is in these two syllables, Krishna. No one knows. Can't estimate it. So that, what I just read, that's from the Padma Purana. And then there's a big explanation of how, even if, you know, different words, and that, but the ra is here and the ma is a couple syllables away, but still you can get some benefit. So that's how Krishna is very kind, like putting his holy name all over the place. Especially the name of Ram, that we find all over the world. Krishna, we don't find in India, we find Krishna a lot. But in other countries, in Israel, there's Ramagat and Rama. There's one village called Rama, and there's Ramala. That's where that guy used to live, you know. That's in Palestine, Ramala, Ramazala. There's Ramagat, there's Ramanot, there's many, many Ramas. And all over the world you find towns named Rama, rivers named Rama. So this way Krishna is helping everybody. And in English, Panorama, that Panorama is a Greek word. I mean, Panorama means like looking out here, you can't take a picture of the whole thing. You have to get panorama. Wide. Pano means seeing, so wide seeing. So they adopted that word, so whenever there's a big thing, like a sail, they call it sail-o-rama. And I used to watch one bowling show on television every Sunday, and it was called Bolo-rama. So I was like 12, 13 years old, but then later I realized that was my first exposure to the Bolo-rama, you know. It's quite popular, you know. So this way the name of Rama we find many, many places. So Haridas says, even if one, you know, utters the holy name not even correctly, you know, still he's going to get so much benefit. The slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna can drive away all darkness and ignorance that arises in the heart due to greatly sinful activities performed in previous lives. So like Jagai and Madai, they were the most sinful people in the world. But after they started chanting, Lord Chaitanya said, told the devotees, never even think about their previous sinful activities. Now they're chanting the holy name. So it's all wiped out. Sahajiyas want to take advantage of that and think, I can sin and then I'll chant and sin and chant. And that's the worst sin. That's the seventh sin, offense. That's the most terrible thing, to try to cheat Krishna. Krishna is much more clever than them, but they don't know that. So even a faint light from the holy name can eradicate the reactions of sinful life. He mentions Ajamil. You know, in the beginning, Ajamil wasn't, he was just chanting the name of his little boy and thinking this little boy can help him, Narayan, Narayan. But gradually he actually remembered Narayan because in his youth he had worshipped. And then because he actually remembered the real Narayan. So he said, this is, you know, Prabhupada told the BBT they should always have the first volume of the sixth canto available for distribution, because simply the story of Ajamil could convince anyone to chant the holy name. So it's a very important story. So Haridas is telling that story. So Lord Chaitanya liked that very much, but then he asked more questions. So there are many living entities, some moving and some not moving. What will happen to the trees, plants, insects, and other living entities? How will they be delivered? Haridas said, it takes place only by your mercy. You've already granted this mercy and delivered them. because he's it takes you have loudly chanted the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hare. And therefore, everyone is benefited, moving and not moving. Everyone is benefited. So we're also chanting quite loudly all over the world by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy. You know, even in Japan today, they finally had yesterday an 8-hour kirtan or something. I've been telling him for years, you know, you think you have problems, just chant, you know, just have a big kirtan. So everybody's so happy, you know, and they forgot all their trouble. And because the trouble is not real, it's all temporary. So the living entities, the moving living entities have heard the sankirtan, they've been delivered. And after the trees and stuff, they hear it. It's not really an echo. It's the kirtan. It's inconceivable, but that's your causeless mercy. When loud chanting is performed all over the world by those who follow in your footsteps, all living entities moving and moving dance in ecstatic devotional love. So everything you did while going through the forest, and, you know, I heard about all that and how the animals were dancing and chanting, and you know, you accepted Vasudev Dutt's request. You become a devotee just to deliver everybody. You preach the loud chanting of the Maha Mantra, and this way freed all living entities from material bondage. Now, I think here it's very nice, but often in India, they take this loud, you know, a little over. We want loud chanting that can be heard nicely by people, so it's a pleasant sound, you know. It's not like a speaker horn that's turned up double power and it's breaking everybody's head. People run away. We want people to think, oh, what a beautiful sound that is. So that means we chant out loud. We're not chanting, you know, like that, privately somewhere. We want it to be heard. And we want to be everywhere, so more and more people. Then Lord Chaitanya said, but if everyone gets liberated, there'll be nobody in the universe. So he's really into this. You see the loving relationship between Haridas and Lord Chaitanya. You know, Lord Chaitanya's relish. Prabhupada would do that sometimes with devotees. He'd start asking really stupid questions sometimes. Prabhupada would take the Mayavadi position and try to get the devotee. One time he tried to do it with me, and I was so afraid that he was angry at me, I didn't say anything. I did. Later, after I listened to many, many morning walks, I realized he wanted to engage in conversation. I just thought, you know, Prabhupada turned around. So as long as you're within the material world, you will send to the spiritual sky all the developed, moving and non-moving. Then you will awaken the living entities who are not yet developed and engage them in activities. So everyone will come into existence and the universe will be filled up again. Then he tells how previously Lord Ramachandra liberated everybody in Ayodhya, but it filled up again. And Krishna liberated everybody in Vrindavan, or everybody in the world. So you put a plan in motion by coming, and no one can understand how you're doing this. Krishna freed everyone in the universe from material existence, but it filled up again. There's always more, just like the prison. If they let everybody out of prison, there'll still be new people coming into the prison. So this, although the Supreme Lord can be seen, glorified, and remembered with the attitude of envy, he nevertheless awards the most confidential liberation, which is rarely achieved by the demigods and demons. What can be said of those who are fully engaged in devotional service of the Lord, like all of you? He mentioning that, you know, even these inattentive people, even people chanting, you know, jokingly, drunken people chanting, it has a power. Yesterday I was walking here and one boy came up and he was quite unhappy boy, and he said, you know, I can't get it, I can't work, I don't know what to do. And I told him, we'll chant Hare Krishna, and he did one time, then he came again, and Then I said, well, you have to get... He said, I want to make friends, and I can't make any friends. I said, well, you have to get right with Krishna. I got him chanting again. Then he started walking with me, you know, and he just kept chanting. And we walked pretty far and pretty fast, and then I had to come back. And, you know, I tried to get his attention, and I turned around, and he was going so fast, and just, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He just kept walking. He didn't notice that I turned back. But that, you know, we want everybody to chant, any type of person. So by coming, you know, as an incarnation in Navadvip, you've delivered the entire universe. One may say that he knows Lord Chaitanya, but I say, I don't really know anything. The pastimes are like an ocean of nectar. It's not possible to conceive how great that ocean is or even to understand a drop of it. This is Haridas. Lord Chaitanya was astonished. He said, these are my most confidential pastimes. How can Haridas understand that? So he was greatly satisfied. He embraced Haridas, and then he didn't talk anymore because he didn't like to hear himself get glorified so much. And he wanted this to be put out. He wanted the world to hear, you know, the glories of the holy name, but he didn't want Haridas to get more and more into glorifying Lord Chaitanya personally. He was happy when he glorified the holy name. And then Prabhupada mentions in the purport, so the Lord wants to cover his own opulence, but he can't do it. The devotees always know. They always can recognize him. So Prabhupada explains that this is how a devotee, and he wants to ease the anxiety of the Lord. The Lord is worried about the living entities in the material world. So when devotees preach the glories of the holy name, when they preach the glories of bhakti yoga, and they get out and, you know, try to help people, then that relieves Lord Chaitanya's anxiety. You know, the Lord is supposed to be not an anxiety, but he has that kind of anxiety. It's not anxiety like mundane anxiety where he's just wanting sense gratification and wanting this and that, not wanting to get old or whatever we get an anxiety over. He just worries about all the living entities who are fallen away. So when devotees are thinking like that, you know, how to help these living entities. And so then Lord Chaitanya went to his personal devotees and started glorifying Haridas Thakur as if he had hundreds of mouths. Lord Chaitanya derives great pleasure from glorifying his devotees, and Haridas is the greatest. So that's another thing we have to learn. We have the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who've dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. One time Satsarupa Maharaj was speaking and he said, that means the pure devotee, the guru, and Prabhupada stopped him. He said, no, any devotee. So how to counteract that is to, you know, positive action. Glorify the devotees. Speak nicely about any devotee, not just, you know, there's so many devotees all doing such great things, so we have to do that. Then we automatically don't make that offense of blaspheming devotees. So Haridas is unlimited, and we can't, you know, describe very much, but Lord Chaitanya especially liked to glorify Haridas Thakur to the devotees and to the world. And we get in the Chaitanya Bhagavat a lot more of the activities of Haridas Thakur and his preaching, but we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita the disappearance of Haridas Thakur, and it's very, very important. He was he came to Puri and he was staying there. Lord Chaitanya arranged a place for him, the Siddha Bakul, near the temple, but because he had that Muslim birth, he didn't even try to go near the temple. Never tried to enter the temple. We don't either worry about it. At least maybe you can get in. But sometimes devotees used to fight to get in, and we don't worry. Lord Jagannath is coming out everywhere in the world. We have Jagannath Rath Yatras and Jagannath temples. And even in Puri, we can get the prasadam. It's the same. We can see the top of the temple. So he could see the chakra from where he was, and Lord Chaitanya would come every day and give him prasad, or he would send the prasad, and then he would also come and spend time with Haridas. And when Rupa Goswami came, he stayed with Haridas. When Sanatan Goswami came, he stayed with Haridas. Haridas and Sanatan would argue about which one of them was a better devotee. Both of them were saying the other one was. But Sanatan said, Haridas, some devotees preach very nicely, but their behavior is not perfect. And some devotees behave very nicely, but they don't preach it. He said, you're doing both, you're the best. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, agreed with that. So Lord Chaitanya would come, and Govinda would bring the prasada, Mahaprasad, from Lord Chaitanya's remnants, Jagannath's remnants, and then Mahaprasad. So he noted that Haridas, he didn't take the prasad for a day or two. He would just offer prayers and then be chanting. And he was getting very, very old. So Lord Chaitanya came to see him. He said, Haridas, are you sick? He said, no, I'm completely all right, but my mind is sick. I can't finish my rounds, you know, his 192 rounds, because he was sick and he couldn't chant so fast. You know, so if you slow down a little bit, you're not going to make it. We don't have that drink they sell here where you get 26 hours in a day or something. You know, said, work 12 hours, party 20 hours or something. And I saw the ad. Saw one bar in Japan, it said that open until 28 o'clock or something. They're stretching out the day. But anyway, he couldn't finish, so he said, I'm sick, my mind is sick, and I'm useless, I can't finish my vow, my prescribed number. Lord Chaitanya told him, you are fully realized and you don't have to, you know, keep this vow anymore. Haridas said, no, I can't do that. I have to, you know. So he told Lord Chaitanya, I have one request from you. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, said, yes, what is that? He said, I know that very soon you're going to wind up your activities on the earth and you're going to leave. You're going to unmanifest or disappear or whatever we want to call it. And I cannot tolerate the thought of that. I do not want to be present when you're not here. So please let me leave my body first. So Lord Chaitanya said, all right, I'll come back tomorrow. So he went and he got many, many devotees, all the main devotees, and he brought them into the presence of Haridas Thakur. And he sat, like, practically with Haridas, you know, his head on his lap, and Haridas was looking at him and chanting, Gora, Gora, Goranga, and just looking at the face of the Lord and just in ecstasy. And all the devotees were in ecstasy. They were remembering Bhishma Dev. And Lord Chaitanya started to, again, glorify Haridas Thakur as if he had five mouths. In other words, he was saying so much. Just going on and on and on about the glories of Haridas. And then Haridas blissfully left his body. And all the devotees were, you know, it's ecstatic when a pure devotee leaves his body. It's a combination, you know, there's lamentation to lose association of such a great person, but then it's so obvious, you know, he's gone back to Godhead, the atmosphere becomes so purified when it. So Lord Chaitanya picked up Haridas Thakur. Maybe we have a picture here, I don't know. There's many nice pictures. He picked up the body of Haridas, which wasn't very big. Lord Chaitanya is very big, you know. And he carried him to the ocean. And he bathed the body of Haridas personally with his own hand. Prepared him for samadhi. And then Lord Chaitanya personally dug in the sand and he dug out the place. Put Haridas Thakur's transcendental body into the hole in the ground. And all the devotees, I think, they filled it up. And then they had, of course, ecstatic kirtan and a big feast. Lord Chaitanya personally went into the Ana, what do they call it? The Anahata or something, inside the Puri temple, where they sell all the prasadam, Anand Bazaar. And he went in there and he personally begged, you know, from every merchant for this festival of Haridas Thakur. And he personally served prasadam to the devotees. So that's just, you know, kind of a small example of the incredible glories of Haridas Thakur. He saved that prostitute. What was his name? Ramachandra Khan or something. He was very envious that Haridas was getting honored so much. And he was a big rich man. Nobody paid any attention to him. So he thought he'll send a prostitute and Haridas would fall down and then he could make big publicity that Haridas was fallen. And he wasn't really a good devotee. Some people are like that, you know. They're very happy to see somebody, or even want to make somebody fall down. So Haridas, of course, being all-knowing, he knew about it. And one prostitute was the main one of the city, most beautiful and the most popular and richest. And she said, I'll take care of it, no problem. Nobody can resist me. So he was saying, you should take a policeman with you and they can witness, you know, take a picture or something of Haridas. She said, no, first let me, you know, conquer. So she went. Haridas was chanting. At that time, he had a special vow to chant more, even more, and some number in 1 month or something. And she was, you know, even the prostitutes, they were pious devotees. She paid obeisance to Tulsi. Haridas' altar was just Tulsi. And he just had Tulsi and he'd chant. And he said, she started, you know, exhibiting all her feminine attractive features and saying, Haridas, when I see you, he was a young man, I can't live without you. I have to have you, you know, like women will do sometimes. And he said, okay, but I just have to finish my japa and then I'll satisfy you completely. So she sat down and, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And she fell asleep. And the sun came up and she woke up when she felt the sun and Haridas was still chanting. And he said, I'm sorry, but I still didn't finish. So if you come back tonight, no problem. Guaranteed I'll take care of you, satisfy all your desires. So she went back to this Ramachandra and told him, no problem now, he's already agreed and he's conquered and tonight I'll finish it off. So again, the same thing. She came, paid obeisance to Tulsi, circumambulated Tulsi, sat down. Haridas is still chanting. She fell asleep again. And in the morning she woke up, he's still chanting. And he said, I'm really sorry, this, you know, but I almost finished now. Tonight I'm going to be finished up. And I will satisfy all your desires. So she is very happy. Okay. So that night she came, she circumambulated Tulsi, sat down. But then she'd been hearing him, you know, even you're sleeping, she was hearing him chanting. So she started chanting. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And she started chanting also. And then all of a sudden she just paid dandavat obeisances and begged forgiveness. She said, I'm evil, I'm totally corrupt. I came here just to degrade you and, you know, please forgive me. There's a very nice picture of that. I wish we had that picture, but it's in the Haridas Samadhi. And, you know, she's got all this jewelry and everything is flying all over. All the jewelry fell off and her hair is going everywhere. She's paying dandavats and begging Haridas, you know, to forgive her. He says, I knew why you came. That's why I didn't. I could have gone away, but I stayed to deliver you. So that's his causeless mercy. He knew she actually had a good heart. You know, she just had some kind of weird karma to have such a profession. So he told her, you go back to your house and you give away all your, you know, ill-earned goods to the brahmanas. So she was evidently quite wealthy. You know, the prostitute then was something like maybe movie stars now. And I mean, that's what they do. They just try to agitate every man in the world, right? By decorating their bodies and undecorating their bodies. And so she went home, she gave away everything, came back with one sari, shaved her head, and started chanting 300,000 names a day. And Haridas left. You know, he went off somewhere else. He gave her his little, wherever he had a cave or something, left the tulsi there, and she started chanting the rest of her life like him. Even this young, beautiful prostitute who was famous. So everyone then, you know, saw that, and then Haridas became much more glorified. Everybody saw the power of Haridas much more. I'm not aware of the names of some of your Indian movie stars at the moment, you know. But you can imagine, you know, the worst ones, right? I just saw there's a big picture of a magazine I saw down on the road there, and it said, after a big fight, so-and-so and so-and-so get back together. So that it's like, you know, we have the Mandir and Radharani getting mad at Krishna, and all. They have so many perverted reflections, and but they don't want to hear about Radha and Krishna. They want to hear about whoever that was. And but if they suddenly just gave up everything and were just chanting Hare Krishna and all distributing books or something, you know, people would really be amazed. Well, this Hare Krishna movement is really something. We had that once at the Burijan Prabhu's wife. She was a big movie star, right? And one time she was in the temple and she was very humble and she was cleaning in the kitchen or something. And the reporters came and they wanted to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was busy or he wasn't in good shape. And so they wanted to distract the reporters. So they said, well, she's here. And they knew her by name, so they interviewed her. And, you know, there she's with her head covered and everything and, you know, just washing pots or something. And they were really amazed by that. And then in the magazine, they put the picture of her previous movie picture, and somebody showed it to Prabhupada. She didn't want Prabhupada to see it. You know, Prabhupada looked through the magazine, here's her movie picture, and Prabhupada said, you look so miserable there. Now you look so happy. So they got, you know, more publicity for Hare Krishna. So Haridas Thakur is, you know, he's a Namacharya. We cannot imitate to try to chant that much, you know. But we can follow the footsteps. He had a fixed number of rounds. So Prabhupada explains that very carefully. He had the fixed number of rounds. We also have a fixed number of rounds. That much. We don't imitate. That's following. That's the difference between imitating and following. We follow his, he had a vow to chant so much every day. So we have a vow Prabhupada gave us at least 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So Lord Chaitanya had these loving exchanges with Sanatana Goswami. Of course, when he first met Sanatana and Rupa, they were so much dandabad with the straw in their teeth, and they're saying, you know, Jagai and Madai were nothing, you could save them, but, you know, if you can save us, it'll be the biggest challenge of your life. We're much worse than Jagai. They were nice, they were just drunkards, but we've, you know, working for the Muslims and everything. And Lord Chaitanya picked them up and said, you're embarrassing me, your humility is too much, you know, don't, it's not nice, it's, I don't like it, because you're my eternal associates. So anyway, when Sanatan finally got his way there to Benares to meet Lord Chaitanya, you know, he had a beard still, you know, he was in bad, dirty shape. He'd been traveling a long time. But he had a very nice chatter that his brother-in-law gave him. And, you know, the brother-in-law was a big agent of the king, you know, buying horses and obviously very rich. And he gave him this beautiful blanket. So Lord Chaitanya told us, who was it? Whoever's house he was staying in. He said, there's a great saintly person at the door, let him in. So he went to the door and he saw this Sanatan, and he came back and said, no, there's only one Muslim beggar there. He said, no, you let him in, you don't know who this is. So that was Sanatan. So the first thing Lord Chaitanya told him to shave up, he said, you look like a hippie. There's a word, I can't remember, Dharavish, some kind of Sanskrit word that means hippie. So he didn't like that. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, Lord Chaitanya doesn't like that, long hair and beard and everything. So he shaved up and he got some cloth from the devotee and he tore it up and just made the kopan, you know, the Babaji kind of cloth. He didn't even take the sannyas dress, which has some prestige in society. But he still had this nice blanket. So he noted Lord Chaitanya was always kind of looking at that blanket and didn't like it, you know. So he realized Lord Chaitanya doesn't like this. So he went down by the river where the poor, poor people were. And there was one beggar there, he had a quilt. You know what a quilt is? They just pick up many scraps of cloth and sew it all together, you know. And so it's all different colors and different kinds of cloth. And it's usually scrap, you know. Although now there's some women in America that make a huge money selling their quilts as works of art. But, you know, because they're beautiful, you know, they collect nice cloth and they really meditate on making them nice because they don't have money to buy a whole cloth. Now they're rich. Anyway, this was a very poor one with holes in it probably. And he told this man, I want to exchange. I'll give you my blanket. You give me your quilt, you know. And he thought, he's crazy. Nobody would want to do that, you know. And he thought he's just joking with him because he's like a homeless, you know, very poor man. But he saw Sanatan was determined. So Sanatan gave him this beautiful, expensive blanket, maybe pashmina or something. And, you know, and then he put on this quilt and he went back to Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya was very happy. This makes sense. So 2 months he instructed Sanatan. And it's, you know, it's definitely worth reading. It takes a lot of effort. Because some of it is very, very, you know, complicated philosophy. But right from the beginning, Sanatan, he said, people call me a pundit, but I'm low born. I don't know who I am. I don't even know my own identity. And then Lord Chaitanya spoke the very famous verse, Jivera Swarupoi Nichera Krishna Das. You know, everyone is this eternal servant of Krishna. And then one of the first things also was sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. Sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. That even one moment, 1/11th of a second, one lava matra is the most valuable thing. Is the sarva siddhi hoi, all perfection. And this is stated in sarva shastra koi, all scriptures say that. And that's how he started out teaching Sanatan. But then he taught him everything because he was instructing him in great detail, you know, what kind of book, what books he should write and what he was supposed to do in Vrindavan. And told him, you go to Vrindavan for a while, then you can come to Puri also and just associate in a friendship way. And I remember I was reading one time and this hit me because I was listening to these lectures of Prabhupada and he was going over this part. So there's that part where Lord Chaitanya is explaining about the Vaikuntha planets and how they all have the symbols in different hands, and that's how you know that this one is Ahokshaja and this one is Damodar and Prabhupada. So I was reading that and I thought, well, you know, I'll skip this, you know, there's no nectar here. I don't, you know, but Super Soul saved me. And I thought, well, Sanatana Goswami is listening to this. And Lord Chaitanya is speaking it. So I don't understand, like, what value this has for me. But when I heard Prabhupada, he was speaking it. It's so excited, you know. He was describing how this left hand has a club and this lower right hand has this and the lotus and the shank. And, you know, again and again and again. And this was in 1966 in New York. you know, he'd only been in America 1 year. And a few people, maybe some, you know, old ladies from the Vedanta Society or something, you know, a few new devotees. And he's going on and on about this Vaikuntha incarnations of Vishnu. So obviously it has great importance. So, but he also, you know, he taught that one chapter is called The Beauty of Krishna, and just such detailed descriptions of the beauty of Krishna's body and the art of devotional service, and many, many chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's one of the times where much, much detail is given. And so he really, you know, of course he knew that Sanatana Goswami was qualified to take this. And you know, previously Sanatana felt like he was offensive because his body was sick and it was, he had, I guess we'd say, boils. You ever had boils? There was an epidemic in New York Temple at one time. You know, and the pus is coming out and blood, and it's horrible and very hard to deal with it. And Lord Chaitanya would always embrace him, and this blood and bad smelling stuff would get on Lord Chaitanya's body. And he thought, this is too much offensive, so I'll just commit suicide under the wheel of the Rath Yatra cart of Lord Jagannath in front of Lord Chaitanya. That'll be very auspicious. And that way I won't make any more offense. And he didn't tell anybody, but Lord Chaitanya, when he came to visit Haridas and Sanatana one day, he just started talking how suicide is tamasic. And it won't get you to Krishna. He said, if I could get to Krishna by suicide, I would have suicided many times already. That was a very valuable line for me one time. We had one girl in Fiji, and she was a very, very sincere devotee, but her parents were completely against it. And we hardly ever visited her. And we happened to visit her, and then a few days later she made suicide, and she left a note, I can't live in this material world any longer. And of course, the Hindu people were saying she must be a great devotee. But the newspaper wrote really bad that we did it. We told her to do it. So I demanded the newspaper, you have to let me have as much equal time, you know. So they agreed. So I told them that. I said, suicide is not the way to Krishna. You know, I would have suicided many times if it was. They liked that. They put that big, you know. So I took that from Lord Chaitanya. So anyway, Sanatana, he was... Lord Chaitanya said, I have many plans for your body. You have no right. It's not yours. You've given it to me. Like all of us, hopefully, given our body to Krishna, we can't say, well, I don't want to do this. I want to go here. I want to go there. We have to do whatever Lord Chaitanya wants. So Sanatana agreed. And then Lord Chaitanya instructed him so much about the Hari Bhakti Vilas and different books on bhakti and, you know, details, and also, you know, researching to find the lost places of Krishna Leela. And so at the end, Sanatana just asked him that, please empower me that I will be able to do what you're asking me to do. He didn't think, well, you know, I'm a big man. I was a minister and, you know, the prime minister of all of Bengal and the favorite of the, you know, the king, and I can do anything. There's no one like me. He was completely humble, and he was begging to be empowered. So, of course, he was empowered. So he went to Vrindavan, and he was there for a little while. Rupa had already gone to Puri, and then he was informed that the brother died, and then he went to Puri, stayed there for quite some time. Lord Chaitanya asked him to stay, actually. You know, he was thinking to leave because I think it was Damodar Pandit or somebody suggested you should leave, and Lord Chaitanya got very angry. He said, he can't tell you what to do. I want you to stay. So they would associate every day with Krishna Katha, just enjoying kirtan. And Sanatana wouldn't even go on the road near the temple for fear that he might bump into one of the priests, and then they'd have to throw away the whole offering and everything like they do because of his feeling that he had lost his caste. You know, he was a he was actually a Saraswat Brahmana by birth, but because he had worked for the Muslim government, according to Hindu culture, he is completely rejected and no longer a Brahmin. And so he would not even walk on the road. One time he came to meet Lord Chaitanya, and he walked across the beach. And I don't know if you've been on the beach in Puri in the afternoon. It's quite hot, you know. So he burned his feet really badly. They were all blistered. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why didn't you come on the road by the temple?" He said, "No, I can't go there because I'm so contaminated, and you know, I might bump into one of the priests or something and ruin their whole day." And he said, "But your feet are all burned." He said, "Oh, I didn't even notice it." He was just, you know, absorbed in meeting Lord Chaitanya. He didn't even notice he was burning his feet, blisters, not just getting a little hot, you know. They're actually burnt. So that's the, you know, the level of total surrender and these great devotees have. Sanatan was more the scholar, of course. And he, if you've been to that Ram Kaili, and we showed the property and that Sanatan and Rupa had, they were really rich. They had huge property and palaces and everything. But taktwa turnam ashesha mandalapati shenim sadatu chivat. And in Kopina, they threw away everything. They gave up all the association of aristocracy and prestige and money and just wore the kopin. Giriraj Swami, you know him, right? He was very renowned. He still is very renounced. And especially when he was in Bombay in the early days, and he would never have nice clothes and stuff. Prabhupada had to tell him, "You got to get nice cloth because you're going out preaching." He didn't care. And Prabhupada knew that he came from a very rich family. So when he would come in the room, Prabhupada would often sing that. Taktva turnam rishesha mandalapati shreinim sadatu chava. He liked very much, you know, how it, devotees, some of us had nothing to give up, but still, you know, Prabhupada appreciated our attempts to do some service. Lord Chaitanya appreciates every devotee and every little bit of service. And the mainly that, you know, the more we're chanting the holy name and the more we're thinking how to give the holy name, like the Panchatattva, they were thinking how to save these people, how to give the holy name. And they opened up the warehouse of love of Godhead, which had been sealed up, and they started distributing it freely, without any discrimination. That's never been done before. But they found that the more they distributed it, it kept increasing. Different than ordinary treasure chest, you know. Normally, people don't, you know, you have something, you think, well, you know, if I give it away, what, I won't have it anymore. Ooh. Maybe I should keep it. Maybe I should get more rich first, and then I'll give some charity, right? Many people think like that. First I'll get rich, and then I'll give donation. But actually, the more you give, the more you get. So, but giving out love of Godhead, they broke it open, and it just keeps increasing. And now we're still giving it out on behalf of the Panchatattva. Giving Krishna Prema, Namo Mahavadanaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tishenam. That was Rupa Goswami's prayer. You know, Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous. Magnanimous means giving mercy even when it's not deserved, you know, like just being overly merciful. Like letting big criminals go or something like that, you know, really magnanimous. That's Lord Chaitanya, the most magnanimous, because he's giving Krishna prema, which normally, you know, you'll find in the Vedas, it's impossible to achieve practically. But Lord Chaitanya gave it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can look up Gaura Prema or Chaitanya, you'll see how many times it says, just by reciting these leelas, just by reciting the Shishastak, we don't have time, you know, the last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita's Shishastak prayers. And Lord Chaitanya was composing them and then, you know, and having his own ecstatic commentaries. It's another something we should all read again and again. We're reciting the Shishastak every day, and there's a tendency, at least in myself, and I've noted, I think, many others, when we recite something every day, it can be mechanical, you know, right? We don't really meditate on it so much, on it, you know, get into it, like they say, but Trinadapi, Sunichena, Tadorapi, Sishina. Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So that one's been said in so many ways. This most important thing, and I have to finish. Amanina Manadena, offering all respect to others and not expecting anything in return. This is very, very advanced. Then we can chant all the time. Then we can really enter into the holy name and get the full benefit that we read about, when we can offer all respect to others and not expecting anything in return. And that's a principle that book distributors learn, any preacher learns. After a while you learn you cannot be attached to the result, because most of the people reject you. I always noted that some of the biggest book distributors that I was going out with, they were so fast. That one Mataji Gita Govinda in Japan, if somebody didn't take it, she would it was so fast that she went to another person. She never thought, oh, you know, he don't like me. She just, and she ran like crazy. So she just a bit more books. It wasn't that everybody took a book, but, you know, Krishna gradually sends more people also. But we learn, we can't be attached. It's up to Krishna. We can feel some compassion for people that aren't allowed to, you know, accept the holy name or accept even prasadam sometimes. In India, we don't have that problem so much. Muslims, though. Even when we go at after Govardhan Puja at Varshana, in the town, many of the brahmanas, they won't take the prasad from us. If you go in the village, then they all take it. But the brahmanas, they can't take from these malechas, you know. So that we're not attached. I mean, give it to whoever would take it. So manina manadena kirtaniya saha. Then we can chant all the time. Offer all respects to others. Vanchakalpa trubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Offer obeisance to all Vaishnava devotees. All Vaishnava. And now we'll be very fortunate to hear much more Gaurkatha, which has unlimited magical powers if we just hear it. And if we try to repeat something, the more we do that, it's special mercy Krishna is giving me, being very fallen, to be able to ask to speak Krishna Katha. So thank you very much. Bahut dhanyavad. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gauranga is here? Where should I go? Should I move down or what?